Attention, mill spouses, families, and service members. It's now time for another empowering episode of Army Wife Talk Radio, the leading and longest-running podcast of its kind. AWTR is here to engage, educate, and encourage you by sharing dynamic interviews, social media connections, news, and empowering military life information. Here are your AWTR hosts, your Army Wife Network command team.
Hey everyone, this is Sarah Robichaud, Army Wife Network's Director of Administration, and you're listening to Army Wife Talk Radio, the leading and longest running podcast of its kind. This is episode number 935, and I have the special privilege of introducing my co-host for today, Megan Claiborne, who is AWN's newly instated Deputy Director of Podcast Production. Welcome to the show, Megan. Listeners, as always, we've got another fun show lined up for you today. Have your headphones in and get ready for your weekly lineup of military life empowerment. On today's show, we will be listening in to an interview conducted by our Director of Content, Kathleen, as she chats with our guest, Hallie Bridgman, about her book series, which includes Honor Bound, Word of Honor, and Honor's Refuge.
Hi. Thank you, Sarah. Hello, everyone. We have some great information in store for you this episode. After Kathleen's conversation with Hallie, we'll be sharing some of our weekly resources to help you excel in your mill spouse life. Now, before we dive in, Sarah, how are things going with you this week?
Things are going good. We are busy as always, deep into school and sports and scouts, and there's always something on the calendar for us to do that has us running in 10 different directions. You know, my husband has had a few TDYs, which have thrown off everybody's schedule. I'm always grateful that when the trips are short, but it's almost harder because you can't get into a battle rhythm when they're only gone for a few days. But I was able to make contact with a local spouses group, which was really exciting for me. I'm an introvert and I'm in an area that is away from military bases. So it's been really hard to connect with other military spouses. So I see that as a huge win for myself. And a shout out to any other spouses that are up here in Southeastern Michigan. If anyone wants to connect with me, send me an email. It's a shameless plug. But how are things going with you, Megan?
Yeah, Sarah, I've definitely been there too. You're making me think of our past 2 years in Northeastern Pennsylvania. We were there for an ROTC assignment. And so, yeah, it's difficult to be away from a military installation. It's hard to make friends. And I grew up as a civilian, so I didn't realize how much of a benefit it was to live close to the military community. But it's really tough when you're in a new area without the community to build friends. And so I'm glad that you made it to that first meeting. On my end, we're transitioning into the National Guard right now. So Andre had been in the military for 12 years. He just got into medical school. So we're doing kind of the big life transition. And so he'll be in the National Guard. And we just moved this summer. And so it's pretty much the same story as you. It's been tough to get into a battle rhythm. We're finally starting to make it, I think, between Autumn starting school and Andre getting into school himself. I feel like we're just around the corner from getting into a routine.
Yeah, that's how I feel too. We also moved this summer. We moved from Virginia to Michigan in August. And so I feel we've hit that 2 month mark and we're starting to feel almost settled. Like we're almost there, but it's still just a little bit chaotic.
That almost there. I feel like I've been saying that for weeks, but I feel like it's for real now. And I hope it's the same for you, that it's almost there. And I know it's something a lot of us experience as military spouses. So it's always good to be in solidarity together, navigating through these difficult transitions. So I'm glad to catch up with you, Sarah.
Yes, absolutely.
So let's turn our attention to this week's main interview with Hallie Bridgman.
Welcome, Army Wife Talk Radio listeners. I'm Kathleen Palmer, your Army Wife Network Director of Content, bringing you today's empowering episode. Today's guest combined her knowledge and experience of military life with a vast amount of research to craft a new action-packed romantic suspense series. Her book series looks at the lives, the loves, and the struggles of three Special Forces A-Team SOF officers. Today, we are chatting with author Hallie Bridgman about her new book series, Honor Bound, Word of Honor, and Honor's Refuge. Hallie is the USA Today bestselling author of several action-packed romantic suspense books and series. An Army brat turned Floridian, Hallie and her husband finally settled into a central Kentucky location where they have raised their three children. When she's not writing, Hallie pursues her passion for cooking, coffee, campy action movies, and regular date nights with her husband. Hallie, welcome to Army Wife Talk Radio.
Thank you. I'm so happy to be here.
Well, we here at AWN love finding more books about military life. So we were so excited when your author bio came across our talk show platform. And we were real excited to talk to you today about your series. And we're going to jump in. But I have to ask you a question. I hope you know the answer is, how many books have you written? Do you have a ballpark estimate?
So the book that publishes November 1st, which is the third book in this series, will be my 49th.
49th. Wow. That's incredible. What an accomplishment. That's amazing. And so how many actual series do you have in addition to the Honor Bound series?
Okay, let me think. I have four series.
Four different series.
Fiction.
Okay.
And then I have a cookbook.
Well, you are ambitious, my friend. Okay. Well, we're going to focus today on the Love and Honor series. And so the first question I'd like to kind of throw at you is, how do all the books in the new series, Love and Honor, tie together?
They all have the same characters of Special Forces A-Team. So there's four total books. There's a free book that I'm giving away to people who sign up for my newsletter so they can be introduced to the series. And so four total books, and all four of the men are in that A-Team. And so they can be read alone separately, but if you read them all, then you get the entire story of the four of them.
And I've actually been reading the first one, so not finished yet, so no spoilers, of course. But the content in the book is very realistic and accurate. So it kind of leads me into wanting to ask you what kind of research was required by to actually portray these soldiers to be so authentic.
Well, my husband deployed with 20th Special Forces Group to Afghanistan in 2002, and he was with 20th Group for years. And so I had a lot of, I knew them. I knew men who were in a special forces unit. So I knew where to start, and that was my starting ground. And then I did a lot of visual research. So to make sure that I understood how men actually move under the weight of their equipment and the way that they interact with each other and all of that stuff. So I watched a lot of things like the Benghazi movie with Jim from The Office and SEAL Team with the guy from Angel. I'm really bad with names. I'm sorry.
That's okay. I actually have a cheat sheet
of the names of my characters so that I don't mess them up. And so things like that. So I, you know, watched this thing and my husband says, this is realistic enough. It's enough realistic. Like, it's not perfect. Hollywood doesn't ever get it right, but it's realistic enough to do it right. And so I did a lot of visual research to make sure that I accurately portrayed the way that they move and interact, and then making sure that the dialogue was actually what real life people say instead of like a tropish kind of stereotype that people tend to do when it's about military.
Well, you did, your research paid off because I'm about maybe halfway through your first book in the series. And I can really tell you, I've been in the Army for 30 years or so. And you really did nail especially the interaction between the soldiers, which you're right, can kind of come off tropish, you know, in the sense that, you know, there's no leeway for humanity in there, but you really do a good job with that. I mean, I was laughing out loud, and I'm going to get to the part that made me laugh so hard that I thought you really nailed and got right. But does your husband actually, does he weigh in? I know what you said on the movies, but does he read some of the things you write and weigh in a little bit on it?
Oh, absolutely. He is my first editor. So when a book is finished, it goes to him. And it's so funny because I bracket things that I'm not positive about. So I'll bracket, how would they take the ship?
Yeah.
So come to me and say, what is it that you see in your head? And I'll explain to him, and then he'll give me the military, like the actual military movements of, and the words they would use on the radio and all of these things. And then I'll go back and write it the way that he explained it. And then he'll fix it and make it realistic. So we work as a team. And he handles a lot of my male dialogue because men and women speak differently and we think differently. And so I'll, you know, have this whole line of male dialogue. And when it comes back to me, it's, you know, half the size and more quick words and much more active voice. It's very funny.
No, that's great. He's like your ultimate beta reader. So yeah, that's great.
Yeah.
So you wrote different series that I see. And so what has drawn you in now? Like, what was the lore of the military fiction? How did you get from your other series to this series?
Well, I've always wanted to do military fiction. I love romantic suspense. And I had written all of my books. I'd written 10 novels and then got divorced and got remarried. And my husband deployed, and then he came home and he deployed again, and we had babies. And so all of this was going on post 9/11. And so when it was time for me to publish, when my youngest son slept through the night for the first time, my husband in Afghanistan sent me an email and said, okay, time for you to get back to your books. It's your turn now. And I had all of these romantic suspense that were written pre 9/11. And so everything was going to be different. You know, when I have a nuclear espionage book, nothing is going to be handled the same way. There's different departments in the government, you know, Homeland Security didn't even exist. And so I just started publishing with my contemporary romances without suspense, because all I had to do to them was throw in a few cell phones, and that brought them up to modern times. And I kind of got into this, that was my audience, contemporary Christian romance. And so the suspense was what I wanted to be writing, but I had this huge audience that loved my contemporary romances. And so I kind of had to break out of that a little bit to start writing the suspense. And so when it was time to pitch the books to Revell, I said, I want to do military romance. They do not have military romantic suspense author. Looking through their entire catalog, there was very, very little military. I said, I want to be their military romance author. And so that's, I sat down and brainstormed, and I loved it. I fell in love with the stories that I had ideas for. So
that's really, I mean, it's really interesting that you made that jump, because it's something you kind of just touched on, is that, you know, with your Christian contemporary fiction, when you come into like a military novel or a military world there, I mean, of course the values are still there, but the language sometimes sounds different, or the actions look different than maybe in a different book. So did you have an inspiration for that really said, hey, I want to write a book based on this character? What was like the inspiration, if there was one?
What I really wanted to do was give a realistic story about the military, because I have a hard time reading military romances, because they're never right. And there's so many assumptions based on what Hollywood gives us. And it makes me kind of crazy when I try to read them. And so what I wanted to do was create a series that was realistic and honored the military, and was kind of like a love letter to my father, who's retired Army. He was 30 years Army Ranger. My father-in-law was, you know, 30 years paratrooper. My husband is still serving. And I wanted, that was like my love letter to these men in my life that served. And I wanted to give the people, my readers, what it really is like versus what people assume it is.
I think to framing it as a love letter to your father and to the men in your life that have served is a beautiful answer to that question about being your inspiration. And I can see that you really have the respect and admiration by the way you draw out your characters. At least, you know, like I said, I'm only about halfway through your first book, but I want to move into the characters in your series, because I love them. First of all, I love the nicknames that you gave all them, because well, all the guys have nicknames. I mean, and yeah. I remember we moved to Carlisle, Pennsylvania, and my next door neighbor came over to introduce himself, and he's like, hey, I'm Lunchbox. And I'm like, what? And I was like, but that was his nickname, because he liked to eat. His nickname was Lunchbox. So, but your character names are so great. I'm going to read a couple of them. I love Jerry Maguire. I think it's Jerry Maguire. I can't remember his last name. I'm losing it.
McBride.
And then you have Pot Pie Swanson, you know, from the Swanson dinners. So just names like that, because guys are really great about like picking up on nicknames fast. And I think you nailed that. But I have to say, the character, you know, the Jerry Maguire character, Maguire, I love the fact that you got three lines from, that's my favorite movie. You got, help me help you, show me the money, and had me at hello, like in the first 10 pages. And I'm like, I love this book. but it's so great that you really made them realistic, because those are like, no, you know, normal pop references that people their age and experience would use. And I'm sorry, I didn't mean to fangirl you there, but I just love that. Love those characters. So in the series that you have created, of course, is there a character that you really have taken a liking to, or that you really relate to?
I think of all of them, my favorite character is Bill Sanders, whose name is Drumstick.
Drumstick, yeah.
And I don't remember if it's in his book or in Honor Bound, where that someone says his name is Drumstick. Well, maybe, he said, well, finger licking good was too long.
Right. Yeah. I think it's the first one. Yeah.
Okay. But anyway, my husband is Southern. His family is from South Carolina. His dad retired in North Carolina. When I met him, he was at Fort McClellan, Alabama. All of his good, like he was, his 20th group was out of Birmingham, Alabama. And so most of his friends are from Alabama. And I just love Southern men. I love Southern colloquialisms. I love the humor and the slow movement of the South. And he was my absolute favorite character to write. And I didn't pattern him after my husband in any way, but I love a tortured hero kind of story. And when you get to his book, he has horrible past. And I love men who come out of horribleness to, you know, be great men. And so he's probably my favorite.
Oh, I love him. And I can't wait to read his book. I really can't. I think that, you know, I love what you said about the South and how that is. And so many military people, you know, when you meet them, they do come from these small Southern towns. And my husband's from Maine and he's been in the Army since he was 17. And he sounds like he's from Georgia. Cause I think you just pick up all these accents, but I think I love that. And I love the characters and I'm excited to know that the characters' backstories are in the other novels. And so I'm looking forward to that. One of the, I think the whole thing that the way they call Rick Cap. I love that. Just some little things. I think if you've been around the military, you're going to pick up on, which after listening to you at the beginning, I think was really what your intention was to make sure it was authentic to military people. And I think right. It really is. Yeah.
I asked a lot of military wives to beta read for me to make sure that I nailed what I intended to nail and got some really amazing feedback.
Yeah, with that, you picked some good readers. That was fantastic. Okay, so I'm going to have to take a little bit of a break now. So thanks for sharing with our listeners the inspiration behind the series. And after the break, we're going to talk about the lessons and then upcoming opportunities for Hallie. So stay with us, listeners. And if you want to learn more about what Hallie is up to, you can always visit her website at halliebridgman.com or connect with her on social media via Facebook at author Hallie Bridgman, Twitter at Hallie, or Instagram or YouTube at Hallie Bridgman. That's HalleeBridgman. Don't worry, as usual, all the links are gonna be in the show notes, so just stay tuned. The rest of the interview will be right back after our commercial break.
Engage, educate, encourage, empower, advertise. AWN has many opportunities for promotion of your brand, service, or product, including web creatives, blog posts, social media promotions, podcast audio commercials, Facebook Lives, and so much more. Email empower@armywifenetwork.com to get started. We sincerely thank you for your support to empower military spouses, families, and their service members around the globe.
Welcome back, listeners. We're continuing our conversation with military spouse and author Hallie about her book series, Honor Bound, Word of Honor, and Honor's Refuge. Okay, Hallie, we're back and we're gonna keep on going here. Of course, I could have talked about characterization almost all day, but let's move to the theme of your book. And the theme of honor is present in each book in the series. So why did you choose to focus on this particular theme or quality?
Because the people who serve in today's military, if you consider the fact that 9/11 was, 22 years ago?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Most of the people who are currently in the service right now all came in post 9/11, which means that they entered the military knowing that we were at war and that we were actively fighting in the Middle East in a war that's been going on for the last 22 years. And I feel like that takes a very special kind of person to be that person who raises their hand and says, I swear to defend the Constitution and what it takes to step in front of an enemy to defend their country when it's not this idea that it might happen, but that it actually is. And so that was where the idea of honor came from, was this. They're honorable people. They're honorable men and women who serve in our military, and they're doing it knowing full well what might happen and what might be required of them because of it.
Wow, that's very powerful and true. And you know, it's scary to think about that too. But you're right. about the time frame of people coming in after 9/11, and you know, your eyes were completely open. You know, there wasn't hiding anything that your life was going, you know, to have to face. So very powerful. And I do love the way you've threaded the, you know, the theme throughout all three of the books. And I hope maybe there'll be a fourth book. But I guess we'll talk about that in a minute. But moving from theme of the books to lessons in the books. So I know that's kind of a broad term. So are there any lessons about love or about life or about anything that you hope they learn from Love and Honor series?
Well, as a Christian author, I always have a faith element in my books, a faith thread that has the same kind of arc that the suspense does or that the romance does. And then at the end of every book, there's an opportunity to have discussion questions for like a book club that are all faith-based and faith-focused. And so each book has its own theme of faith that specifically takes biblical concepts and here's this real world problem. And so you have someone in one book who can't stand the idea of the dangerous life that this person leads. And so they would rather not be with them than be with him than like know what might happen. And then eventually realizes, well, that's just silly. He's going to live or die whether I'm with him or not, kind of thing. And there's another one where there's like absolute heartbreak and there's forgiveness that has to happen before anyone can even move forward through the heartbreak. And in another one, there's, you know, a complete and different cultural clash. You have a Middle Eastern woman and a man from LA who have to overcome like these cultural differences in order to be together. And so like every book has something that's a very specific and intentional life lesson that can be applied to biblical principles and faith.
Well, I saw on your website that you had a like a tab about, you know, about your faith and about what you believed in. And I did click on, I didn't have a chance to read everything, but one of my secondary questions was, does faith play a part when you're planning your book? And I think obviously you answered that. Is it a starting point for you, or is it something as you start developing characters, you see where you can put it in?
So the way that I operate is I develop my characters first. And so before I sit down and plot the book, my characters are fully fleshed out and I have their conflicts and their motivations, internal and external, in three areas: suspense, romance, and faith. And so it's part of that building that three-dimensional character. Faith is like absolutely as important as the romance part of the story to me.
That's awesome. And also very, I mean, it's apparent, at least in the pieces I'm reading. So it's funny, I stayed up pretty late last night trying to get further, but you know, I'm dying to know about Captain Rick and Cynthia, but I guess I'll just have to wait and that's okay. See where it goes. If I'm going to transition a little bit off of this here and say, just to ask you, are you working on anything now that doesn't have anything to do with the Love and Honor series, or are you continuing the series out, if you can say?
Yes, I am actually writing another book in the series, and it's going to be such fun. It is the third book's couple are getting married on a cruise ship. And so all of the A-team is on the cruise ship with my couple, and they stop at a private island, and most of the ship goes off to go on play on the island, and they stay on the ship because that's the wedding day. And while they're on the ship, pirates take it, and it becomes a very bad day for the pirates.
Oh my gosh. That is
I went on a cruise. I went on a week-long cruise by myself to see how I can make pirates take the ship. I did all the tours. I talked to all the staff. I like even like went into the area where they handle the garbage and everything. And it was day five. And I was like, whoa, here's how the pirates can take the ship. And so I've been waiting to write this book. And so that's what I'm right now. I'm developing my characters. I should have it. It should publish the first week of February.
Oh, that's wonderful. What a great idea. I think if I were an author, I probably would go to like a five-star resort spa and see what could happen there. No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah, that's a great idea.
You know, who could take the spa? I don't know, but the A-team could be there on R&R. So yeah, right, there you go. Well, so do you have I know you have some things coming up we talked about before we hopped online. So how can readers connect with you, and is there any way that they can actually see you or interact with you?
I have a newsletter. If you go to hallierichmond.com/newsletter, you'll get actually the prequel to the Love and Honor series. You get Jorge Pena and Emma Salas' story. And I will also be doing, I'll be hitting military bases starting in February. Every military base that has a special ops is definitely on the list. And I'll come to anyone that anyone else wants me to come to. And so I'm going to do signings at the exchange and hopefully connect with libraries. I'm doing a talk at Fort Knox Library in November. If I can do other libraries at other bases, I would do that too. I would love to talk to PWC groups. That's one of my favorite things to do. So I'll be connecting with the PWC leadership to try to get in with those too. So I'll be all around the country from February to like April.
Well, that's fantastic.
So if you sign up for my newsletter, then you would know what my schedule would be.
Okay. No, that's good. So definitely when you guys go to the site, listeners, make sure you look up the schedule. And then when we get off of here today, I'm going to actually link you to a couple of PWC if you need those. I'm sure you probably have that, but I think that's a great organization, especially for your work. I think that would be a great fit. So definitely listeners, readers, you guys get out there, get on Hallie's site and find out her schedule so you can actually meet her and ask her these questions in person. So besides your two sites, is there anywhere else that our listeners need to go to get more information or resources or anything you suggest they go look at?
My site is the best place to start. And from there, click through.
Okay. Gotcha. Well, Hallie, I hate to end this because, you know, we're on the last question here, which I could talk to you probably forever, especially about how you came up with those names. I'm still going to be thinking about that.
Yeah, I have another series that I'm about to do, and I'm already like researching last names of the best last names I can use to come up with the best nickname.
I love it. I love it. So you have to let me know if you need a beta reader. I'd be happy to volunteer. So.
Oh yeah. Definitely.
Yeah. Maybe not for the technical things, but definitely for the names and the humor. And if you need some one-liners from movies, I'm your gal. All right. Our primary mission at Army Wife Network, I have to not forget this, is empowerment. And we always want to hear what empowerment means to all of our guests. So if you've been listening for a long time, you know, this is what we do at the end of every podcast. So we're going to ask Hallie now how she would complete the sentence, empowerment is blank.
Overcoming the doubts that are in your mind. So I have really bad imposter syndrome, and I've written 49 books, and I'm about to write my 50th book, and I taught all over the world, and I speak to groups, and I've keynoted conferences, and every single thing I do, every single time, I expect someone to stand up and say, you don't have the authority or the right to that information or that thought or that idea. And it's, I do it because I don't like weakness. And to me, it's a weakness to give in to the mindset that I don't have that power. And I have had to empower myself to step forward in front of that fear and do all these things anyway, because I believe that God has given me a gift and he expects me to use it. And to not use it, to give in to that fear, takes away all of my power and gives it to someone else.
Wow. I'm going to have to say that was one of the best answers I've ever heard. And the imposter syndrome, I mean, bravo for you for bringing it up, because I think so many of us feel the imposter syndrome, even when we're having success with something, you know, it's still a very, you know, big elephant in the room. And, but I definitely don't think you should feel like you have imposter syndrome. I think you've done it. But it's true. It's like the parable of the talents. I mean, I think we all are given gifts. And I think sometimes we are afraid to use them, and that's not right either. Not being afraid, it does not make it okay. Well, Hallie, I thank you so much for coming onto the show and sharing with our listeners about your book series, the inspiration behind it, and the lessons it contains. And it always, I mean this from the bottom of my heart. Thank you for serving our military and their community around it. We really appreciate you. So thanks again to today's guest, military spouse and author, Hallie Bridgman. Let's hear what our podcast host thought about today's conversation as we go back to the metaphorical studio at AWN.
A big AWN thank you to Hallie Bridgman for sharing her book series and her empowering resources with us today. Again, if you would like to connect with Hallie, you can check out her website at halliebridgman.com. That's HALLEEBRIDGEMAN.com. You can also find her on social media via Facebook at author Hallie Bridgman, Instagram at Hallie Bridgman, and Twitter at Hallie B. All right, Megan, what was your main takeaway from the interview with Hallie today?
Well, I really love getting that insight into her research process. It's fascinating how much detail goes into preparing for a novel. And I really like the bits that she is talking about, like the nicknames and the dialect. And I know you enjoyed that too, with some of the Southern twang.
Yeah, for sure. So she said, you know, that you kind of pick up accents wherever you go. And I had to laugh because, you know, I mentioned before we were in Virginia, my daughter went to first grade in Virginia and definitely developed a little Southern twang as she was learning to read and write. And it was really funny. And now that we're up here in Michigan, my husband has caught me a few times saying things that sound very Northern. And it's, you know, it's kind of hard to keep that neutral accent when you move. I feel like I take a little bit of that everywhere.
Same here. Growing up in Ohio, I definitely didn't have a Southern twang, but after living in El Paso for quite a few years, I developed the y'all, and I find it very useful. And so I still will continue using y'all. So it's interesting that the different things we pick up from where we go.
Yes, I also picked up the y'all. And I feel that up here in Michigan, when I say y'all, I stick out like a sore thumb.
Yeah, me too. Me too, especially because Ohio's, I'm native to Ohio. And so being back here, it's a little bit strange that I still continue, but I think it's very useful, the y'all.
Yeah, I also, I did like how she mentioned her imposter syndrome, which is something that I struggle with myself. And it's interesting that she has written 49 books with number 50 still in the works. And she's this very accomplished public speaker. And she still struggles, you know, with those feelings of, you know, doubt. And I just, that really resonated with me. And I'm sure it resonated with a lot of our audience too.
Absolutely. It's almost validating that we recognize it's something that so many women struggle with. And I think it's something that a lot of male spouses connect with. And so she just did so well wanting to preserve the integrity of the military experience. And everything she talked about just made me really intrigued about her books and interested to try and read some of her 49 books that she's already written.
That is quite a list. That's quite a list to try to tackle.
Yes, yes. But well, what a great interview. And listeners, we couldn't conduct an AWTR episode without hearing from our Army Wife Network Director of Empowerment, Amanda Bicknies, with our Empowering Resource segment, followed by our weekly News 6 update.
Hello, Army Wife Talk Radio listeners. I'm Amanda Bicknies, bringing you this week's Empowerment Patrol Report. Today, we are showcasing our AWN Empowers Ohana Homefront, which was nominated as an organization for helping military families. The Ohana Homefront Foundation was founded on October 4th, 2021 by Marine mill spouse Natalie Ely and retired Navy mill spouse Sarah Otto. Both Natalie and Sarah have been mill spouses for over two decades and have a heart for the military community as a whole. They realize that there is a gap when it comes to mental health awareness and suicide prevention and want to make sure that everyone in the military community is receiving that care that they need for their mental health. The impact of inadequate access and lack of quality care does not affect just our service members. It affects their families and the military community. The mission of the Ohana Homefront Foundation is to end suicide within the military community as a whole. Ohana Homefront does this through helping service members to safely process traumatic experiences and providing crisis intervention and empowering military spouses and families to feel confident and supported in caring for their service members and children through creating connection to communities and providing resources for their own healing. Wow, thank you so much to all of you making a difference at Ohana Homefront. And thanks for doing your part to empower military families all across the globe. Until next time, I'm Amanda Bicknies reminding you that we are never completely alone on this military life journey.
Welcome to 60 Seconds of Serenity with Jawanda Bryant. Your encouragement for today reads, make them fall in love with you. In the spirit of the fall season, why not make people fall in love with you? You are beautiful, talented, exceptional, unique, passionate, and more. You possess all the qualities one needs at home, on the job, and in the community. Most importantly, fall in love with yourself. It is easy to forget about you when you are parenting, working, being the strong one, and being the support system. Let people know that you love yourself so much that you are giving yourself a break and relaxing. When people value you, they will show you. Do not let people abuse your talent or gift. You have to harness and protect it. However, once in a while, you have to show people why you are the best, so they will fall in love with you. This has been 60 Seconds of Serenity with Jawanda Bryant, military veteran and author of Danny and the Deployer miniseries and journal, The Three Most Important Words to Live By, Be, No, Do.
No news is typically good news in this military life, except on Army Wife Talk Radio. Here is our AWN News 6 correspondent with this week's top stories.
Thanks, Sarah and Megan. Howdy, y'all, and buckle up for this week's News 6 update. Microsoft Army goggles strike out at first testing. The future may have to wait a while as the new Microsoft Army goggles fails 4 out of 6 quality tests given by U.S. Army troops. Around 5,000 of the Integrated Visual Augmentation System, or IVAS, goggles were given to troops, and they unfortunately did not receive the results Microsoft hoped for. While the purpose of these goggles is to increase situational awareness, night vision capabilities, battlefield data, and help perfect military exercises, troops instead reported that it caused physical impairments such as nausea, eye strain, and headaches. The goggles also had a high amount of reports involving system errors. Its glow could also be seen from far in the distance, making them unsafe in a battlefield situation. The U.S. Army and Microsoft are still optimistic of the future of these super soldier goggles, according to TechTimes.com. And while it's back to the drawing board, there are still high hopes we'll be seeing new and improved goggles used in military training soon. The future is bright, but hopefully the goggles will not be on the next go-around. Closed down Army base may get second life on the silver screen. The historic Army base of Fort Monmouth, located in New Jersey, closed its doors after almost 100 years of service to its country in 2011. Inactive since then, this treasure trove of military history has been waiting in a second chance at life. It looks like Netflix might be giving her just that as the cinema mogul placed a bid to buy and turn the base into a production complex. While still not a done deal, Netflix said in a press statement that, "If our plans are approved, we hope to build a facility that will create significant economic impact and job growth for New Jersey, a state loaded with creative talent and technical expertise." The Office of the Governor of New Jersey has also spoken positively about the project to the press, saying, "Governor Murphy is delighted to hear that Netflix is interested in establishing a serious presence in New Jersey. He looks forward to working with them and the rest of the industry to create good-paying jobs and spur economic growth throughout the state. Fort Monmouth still has parade grounds and a World War II memorial that will be protected in any bid that wins." Sounds like the perfect background to bring old Hollywood to New Jersey. You can read more at NewYorkTimes.com. Spouses claim their space on Air Force Base. The spouses at Vance Air Force Base, located in Oklahoma, now have a place to call their very own called Spouse Space. Anyone who is a military spouse knows the struggle of connecting with other spouses going through similar situations in a safe and unitive atmosphere. Air Force spouses Meg Hughes and Ann Parker decided to do something about it. After contacting the base's Military and Family Readiness Center, they found 2 rooms given by on-base chaplains that is now called the Vance Spouse Space. Not only will these 2 rooms be used for connection, it is also a place spouses can come and work or study for free, and includes use of an espresso machine and snacks, and also free Wi-Fi. The other room can be reserved for conferences or meetings without the worry of having to pay for a conference room rental out in the economy. Parker told American Military News that, "We think it's very important, for Vance in particular. Right now our event center isn't open and a coffee shop just opened. There's just not a meeting space here. The spaces are all for service members, but spouses live here, they work here, they support, They volunteer, so this space just gives them an area where they can do those kinds of things. With the knowledge that mental health is a huge concern in the military spouse community, Hughes adds that, "We're hoping that this space, even if you're just working, you can get that connection and that support." With working and student spouses becoming the norm and the rise of remote work, Parker and Hughes hope that this space can be a welcome comfort for them to do their work comfortably in an environment of like-minded spouses. Hats off to you, Megan Ann. May your efforts turn into the rise of spouse spaces and installations all over the world. This day in history. On October 24th, 1901, Anna Edson Taylor, a school teacher, successfully went over Niagara Falls in a barrel on her 63rd birthday. Successful in this case means she lived to tell the tale. The whole trip took approximately 18 minutes. Personally, for my birthday, I enjoy a slice of cake and maybe get my nails done, but to each their own. Find out more at history.com. That's all for me. This is News 6, and I'm Emma Tai, signing out.
In normal military fashion, no news is good news, except when it comes to our AWN News 6 correspondent. Thank you, Emma, for keeping us up to date in this military life journey. Let's take a quick 60-second commercial break to catch our breath. We'll be back with more in just a few minutes.
2022 marks AWTR's 17th year on the air. AWTR is the leading and longest running podcast of its kind and has over 850 episodes in the archives. Subscribe to this podcast on our website, armywifenetwork.com, or on the podcast app of your choice, including Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Spotify, or Pandora. Engage, educate, encourage. AWTR is your source for military life empowerment.
As we get ready to wrap up, we invite you to join us each Thursday for our MilSpouse Empowerment Moment. Each MEM is a shorter version of our podcast and features a different member of our team each week, discussing a wide range of empowering MilSpouse-related topics. Also, be sure to subscribe to Army Wife Talk Radio so you don't miss our next full-length episode when we chat with author Julie Tooley about her latest work, Dispatches of a Cowgirl. It's going to be another empowering show.
Here at AWN, our sponsors help us do what we love. Empower military spouses. If you or someone you know has a podcast or service to share with our listeners and would like to join us on our mission to empower military families, let's chat. Please email empower@armywifenetwork.com.
Finally, if you want to connect with Army Wife Network beyond the podcast, you can subscribe to our newsletter, The SITREP. In The SITREP, we showcase our top blog posts, upcoming podcast information, exclusive printables, giveaways, sponsor information, and more. Our SITREP will arrive in your inbox twice per month. To sign up, visit armywifenetwork.com and enter your email in the right sidebar under the SITREP or catch the pop-up box on the homepage.
Listeners, no matter where you are in your MilSpouse journey, newbie or old hat, active duty, National Guard, retired, or prior service, we are here for you. We thank you for your continued support and interaction. And remember, engage, educate, encourage. Army Wife Talk Radio is the source for the military life and empowerment. This is your Army Wife Network Command Team signing out.
Thank you for tuning in to Army Wife Talk Radio. The views and opinions expressed in our show are personal. AWTR is in no way affiliated with the Department of Defense or any other branch of the armed services. Inclusion in our show does not reflect endorsement by the DOD, any local government, or their agencies. Until the next episode, head over to armywifenetwork.com to connect with all of our engaging resources. Engage, educate, encourage. AWN is your source for military life empowerment.